Welcome, people, and thank you for tuning in. This is the Sports Underground with Baron Graf.
Surprise, surprise, surprise.
If you want to crown them, then crown their ass.
There is no tomorrow.
Boy, that escalated quickly.
So let's do what we do tonight.
I will not lose. And now, broadcasting live on intrafficradio.com from the Bedrock Studio in Los Angeles, here's your host, Baron Graf.
Hey, what is happening, folks? It's the Sports Underground, like the mysterious voice said, broadcasting live from the Bedrock Studios. Bedrock Studios, here with my man, Riley Kohler. Ryko, what is up? How you feeling tonight, brother?
Eternal, bound to your service, you know, the same as usual.
Is it
eternally bound? See,
Ryko the shoegazer is here.
Shoegazers can't grammar.
Yeah. So, big night in sports tonight. The national championship game was played in college basketball. Louisville came out the winner, as picked in the Beat Barons Bracket Challenge. And once again, a valiant effort was made, but nobody beat Barron's bracket. Now, I will say this. It came down to the wire. It was closer this year than it has ever been in the history of the Beat Barron's Bracket Challenge. Literally, my cousin Ricky and I have a dead heat tie going into the final game. We both have Louisville picked to win the national championship. He had the final point total at 152 points. I had it at 155. The overpays, and my cousin Ricky was not able to beat Barron's bracket. Don't worry, cuz. They'll play again next year. You can foolishly pick Mizzou into the Sweet 16 again, and you can take SLU as deep as you want to again. Do that again, and I got you last. So that's going on. Louisville wins the national championship, and this is, look, I mean, they were the consensus number one. It's the, you know, they, everybody thought this is the best team. This is who's going to win. And they won. So, okay. Is that a surprise? Well, I don't know. I don't think anybody had Michigan in the final game. So, I would say therefore not a surprise. So that's kind of interesting. A lot of great storylines here, right? The kid that wins the MVP, is this kid, Luke Hancock. And he's the shaggy bearded looking fella that came onto the court from time to time. It's weird to me to see a basketball player with a beard, but I could be wrong. I mean, it's just maybe it's the era I grew up in. Maybe if they had like one of those like NSYNC like weird pencil thin beards, I'd be more like accustomed to seeing it. But I'm not used to seeing basketball players with beards. Luke Hancock has a fierce beard. A mighty fierce beard, actually. A beard that you, Riley, would be envious of.
Always. Don't remind me.
If you saw this beard, it's luscious. The facial cabbage this guy has is pretty impressive. And well-groomed, I might add. There's nothing more disgusting than poorly groomed facial hair.
You don't grow it out and then not take care of it, man.
I think the only guy that can pull this off, and I'm gonna immediately toss this to you because I don't actually know the reference I'm making. The big grumpy guy in all the Harry Potter movies.
Hagrid?
There you go. That's the one I'm talking about. See?
If you need vague trivia on science fiction or fantasy, I'm your man.
There you go. Ryko, serving a purpose in the studio besides running the board, as if that's not enough.
If you're interested in beards, Google Alan Moore.
I'm frightened. To Google.
Don't worry, it's nothing not safe for work.
Isn't that the strangest thing to say is Google Alan Moore? Like Google, I imagine if you like got in a time machine and went back to the 60s and just randomly had a slip of the tongue and just told somebody like, just Google Alan Moore. They'd be like, whoa, bro. I mean, free love and everything, but I don't feel like Googling
anything. It's better than Wiki.
Wiki's not good either. I had a startling revelation today, the other day, I should say. I was on my phone. And we were talking about it. You used to be able to say like iPhone, but now, you know, I've got the Samsung Galaxy X3. That's not a promotion. I'm just saying that's the phone I have. There are a number of alternatives out there to the iPhone. And so now the term everybody uses is smartphone. A smartphone. You got a smartphone? Who doesn't have a smartphone? Everybody has a smartphone. And it occurred to me, as I was looking for directions, and this is the inane part, is like, I know the first part of where I'm going. Like, I know, like, okay, I live in Burbank, so I know I got to get on this. I know I got to get to the 101 freeway, and I definitely know how to get to the 101 freeway from my house. Like, they wouldn't allow me to eat with forks if I couldn't find the 101 freeway from my house, right? I paralyzed, sitting, engine idling, waiting for my map program to load, because I don't know what happens after I'm on the 101. I know it's vaguely out that direction, but I'm terrified. Maybe that's too strong a word, but I didn't want to leave my house until I had the security of knowing all the steps of where I was going. Now, I was thinking about this. This is a dramatic leap. I mean, this is a dramatic jump from our parents' generation, right? Because, like, when my dad took us on family vacations, like, he'd go down to the AAA office, and he'd get a map, and they'd help him, like, plot out the route to his... I mean, this is insanity, right? I mean, who? No wonder nobody ever went on car vacations. I mean, it was, except they did. They did this. It was complete insanity. And then the other thing is the spell checker, which I love, because I, for whatever reason, like, I cannot spell the word inconvenience. It is so inconvenient not to be able to spell the word inconvenience.
You want
to
know a real one? This all stuff is necessary.
Necessary, I don't struggle with nearly as much as inconvenience. And so, as I'm working on this, and my cell phone, my smartphone here is, you know, it's correcting my language. And then if I don't remember something, I get on my phone, I look it up on the internet, it tells me facts. I pretend like I know these facts, even though I don't know them. I had to look them up on my phone. And it occurred to me that this is disposable knowledge. Like, I'm not, like, actually retaining the knowledge that I'm reading. It's just gone after I do this, but I'm not writing it down anywhere. I'm not doing anything to commit it to memory. It occurred to me that this is the great irony of our generation, is that we are all being made dumber by a device called a smartphone. The phone is smart so that I can be an idiot.
Ah, but you see, there is the subtlety. It does not make you dumb. It simply makes you valid information less.
Yeah, I still think it's making us all dumber. When I can't leave my driveway comfortably because I don't want to drive to Agoura Hills without knowing exactly every step along the way... When it's basically just like, get on the 101 and drive. If you hit the ocean, you went too far. Like, that's just kind of like, you should be able to do that on your own kind of thing.
Well, it's a matter of convenience and how often you use it. You know, if you can do it, if you're used to using it all the time and you become reliant on it and it's become a pillar of your life, if every time you drive, you always have directions on your phone, suddenly you take it for granted. Suddenly it's that thing you need. And if you don't have it, it's like...
That's right.
It's like missing a shirt.
Where did it go? I can't leave my house without... If I leave my house without my phone... And now we're... And by the way, I have no idea. We're completely off the rails at this point in time. I have no idea what we're even talking about. But I will tell you this. Louisville is national champion. I don't know what that has to do with a cell phone. But that's... I don't even know how I got there. There's probably people sitting out there going, I didn't drop enough acid for the show tonight. I'm not on. I can't stay on this wavelength. So back to basketball. You know, pretty remarkable deal there with Louisville. They got the kid Ware that breaks his leg in, like, horrific fashion. We talked about that on last show. And so they kind of, you know, pick up his jersey. They're playing for this guy. But, I mean, this is a very talented basketball team. But I really thought that it was fitting that Luke Hancock won the Most Valuable Player Award for the national championship. This is the guy that when Ware went down, Hancock was the first teammate that actually got to him. He got to Ware before even coaches did. The trainers were there, but he was the first person to come to this kid. And he actually knelt next to him and prayed with him that, you know, that things would work out for him. And however you land on the whole, you know, prayer thing is completely up to you. But I mean, for me, that demonstrates an incredible amount of leadership to go to this guy. And I mean, it's fairly obvious that that's a really strong play as a teammate. That's impressive. And that, in turn, it was pointed out that by Rick Pitino, I think, in a press conference, is that in turn inspired this kid who had just, like, had this horrific leg injury to try to inspire his teammates. And I mean, that's what a team is. I mean, that's what that is putting everything of your own personal needs to the back seat of the team. So I'm not at all surprised they won. I'm very happy for Luke Hancock. Look, Luke Hancock is the player that absolutely kept them in the game in the semifinal game against Wichita State. There were a couple of times Wichita State went on a run on Saturday that it looked like they could pull away and make it so difficult that Louisville couldn't get back. It was always Hancock. Somehow, he's the guy that was hitting the shot. He came up with that huge tie-up at the end of the game when it looked like Wichita State was going to get a shot to tie the game off a missed free throw, and he somehow ties the ball up. I mean, he's just in the right place in the right time. And then in the national championship game on Monday, I mean, he's the only reason they stay in that game. I mean, Michigan came out shooting the lights out, Luke Hancock is the only reason that they were in that game. So fitting that he wins the award. Pretty interesting week if your name happens to be Rick Pitino. So just a lot of good stuff happened for Rick Pitino this week. His son was named the head coach, the new head coach in Minnesota. Your team wins the national championship. You become the first coach in the history of college basketball. Now, let me say this really slow and again so everybody can take this in. The first coach in the history of collegiate basketball to win championships with two different schools. That is phenomenal. I mean, that to me, that's phenomenal that that even exists, that this has been going on for so long and that he's literally the first guy to do it. That is mind-blowing. That's a pretty good deal. You go into the Basketball Hall of Fame last week, Rick Pitino. And icing on the cake, your horse wins at Santa Anita, a horse he's got a co-ownership in, wins at the Santa Anita Derby, qualifies for the Kentucky Derby. I mean, it's tough to have a better week than that. I mean, that's really, really hard. I mean, you probably talk to the president. I mean, that's... What do you want?
You're walking home, pick up a winning lottery ticket off the sidewalk.
You trip over a winning lottery ticket on the sidewalk. Not that, I mean, trust me, Rick Pitino is not hurting for money. Let's just set that all aside. Rick Pitino doesn't need another dime. Rick Pitino has lost more money in his couch than we've ever thought about having. So, but great week if you're Rick Pitino. And it was pretty interesting. They were interviewing him. They did a presser on Sunday, and a reporter brought all this stuff up. And Rick Pitino's reaction was very telling to me. He was like, you know, I try not to get too high when, you know, things are going good. I try not to get too low when things are going bad. And that I mean, they always say, you know, that your team embodies the leadership of the team. And that's kind of Louisville, right, man? This is a team that the entire tournament, the entire run through the Big East, God rest in peace, the Big East is now defunct. But this is a team that through adversity, through difficult times, certainly through injury, never got too low, never got too high. And now, I mean, I just don't know what else. If Rick Pitino's horse wins the Kentucky Derby, I don't know what else you want, Kentucky. You should just make him the governor of Kentucky for as long as he's alive. Because at this point, you've won a national championship at Kentucky. You've won a national championship at Louisville. If your horse wins the Kentucky Derby, that's kind of like the ultimate trifecta. There's nothing higher than that in Kentucky. You're the man. Like, what is it, the deal that they say when you win the Academy Award and the Tony and the are you familiar with what I'm talking about?
No idea.
You're not supposed to be shaking your head. This is your world, not mine.
I don't know. I've never heard of that one.
You've never heard of that? No. There's a term for it. I can't remember. All right, so I launched down a path of a reference that I'm completely unfamiliar with. This is it. Off to a great start so far. Good show tonight. I hope everybody wore their seatbelt.
You know that tangents are a sign of good things to come.
Tangents are always good, or a dead end. It could go either way, but at this point, we're just going to go with it. The collegiate basketball season has now come to a close. Louisville's your national champion. An interesting thing that I ran into, and I can't remember if I've already talked about this or not, but, you know, Kentucky, the school Rick Pitino won with some 20 years ago or whatever, Kentucky won the national championship last year. They didn't even qualify for the NCAA tournament this year. Didn't even get into the field. You weren't one of the 68 best teams in the country, according to the selection committee, this year. Add insult to injury, they got bounced out of the National Invitational Tournament in the first round. This is roughly the equivalent of, like, your junior year, you're the homecoming queen, dating the quarterback of the football team, and then your senior year, you don't make the cheerleading squad, you get dumped by the quarterback, you ask an offensive lineman out to the Sadie Hawkins dance, and he says no. That's roughly like what just happened to Kentucky. It was a rough year for the Wildcats, but they're coming back big. They've got the best recruiting class going into next year, and this is an interesting thing to me. You're looking at a team wins the national championship, doesn't make the cut, gets kicked to the curb in the NIT, and they could start out the season as the preseason number one team in the country. Now, that is weird. I mean, there's just no other way to explain it. That, if that does not indicate to you that there's a real problem with college basketball and how it's being run, I don't know what does. I mean, that's, you should not be able to see swings like that. And college basketball got some other bad news this last week. Rutgers. Rutgers had to part ways with their head basketball coach. I don't know if you've seen anything about this, Ryko, but the Rutgers head coach, yeah, he was getting a little physical. He was, you know, throwing the ball around at players. Yeah, Mike Rice, head coach at Rutgers, got a little physical with the guys, pushing them, kicking them, throwing balls at their head. It's a bad deal. It's a bad deal. And the interesting thing about this to me is that this happened actually some time ago. This happened back in November or December. This video came out. And it's very tough for me because he wasn't immediately fired, which I can look at that and I can go, that's terrible. How do you not immediately fire a guy about over this? And I mean, it was a judgment call that the athletic director at Rutgers made not to fire him at the time of the incident. And it was only when video of this was leaked and started to come out that the AD at Rutgers, Tim Pernetti, actually fired the head coach, Mike Rice. And then subsequently, an onslaught of social media pressure came, and Tim Pernetti was actually forced to step down as athletic director. And this is my point. I'm not in any way trying to defend these actions. Obviously, you cannot do this. Like, you can't, as a coach, you can't do this. As an athletic director, you can't keep this guy on your staff. There's no doubt that Tim Pernetti made a mistake. Here's my problem. They fired Tim Pernetti, and then they had the president of Rutgers make a statement saying, it shouldn't have happened in the first place. He should have been fired immediately. And then this is the statement that bothers me, is the president of the university is saying, I should have been more thorough in making sure that this was handled properly. So I need a 20-second timeout here, Prez, because what I don't understand is, if that defense works for you, if you don't have to step down for that, why couldn't Tim Pernetti have said the exact same thing? I made a mistake. I should have fired the guy immediately. Mea culpa. I'm sorry. I screwed up. He's been fired. Not going to go this way again. Because to me, it's the same thing now. And all that really has come of this is that Tim Pernetti, who, with the exception of this decision, has been a phenomenal athletic director for Rutgers. I mean, this is a guy who brought Greg Schiano in to coach the football team, brought that program back from the dead. I mean, had anybody even heard of Rutgers before this guy was here? So now you're in this difficult position where you're going to have to fill that seat. I don't know how you're going to do that. It's not like Rutgers is a high-profile place. So I don't know. That was a weird thing to see happen, but there's no question that you can't – can we just get this out, that you can't be using homophobic slurs on – I mean, really – This is the part of the story that really saddens me the most. It's like, really? I mean, I get it. Like, look, in the 70s and the 80s, even when I was playing sports, it's like, you know, homophobic slurs, unfortunately, are part of the language of sports in that era. But I feel like at this point, a homophobic slur to me is the exact same thing as a racial slur. And it's just... it's beyond me that we live in a world where everybody can openly admit that if this coach was using racial slurs, this would have exploded immediately. Like, as soon as this video is out, it would have gone viral. It would have been the biggest thing on earth. But somehow, like, homophobic slurs were just going, well, that's still hate speech, but we're going to define what kind of hate speech we're okay with.
I think it's one of those things where, you know, they said it in Predator. It's fine. You know, it's a cultural thing. I just don't think people really
I don't think, you know, if we're going on the language that was acceptable in that era. I mean, look, don't go watch 48 Hours with Nick Nolte and Eddie Murphy. That's all I'm going to tell you, because there's a ton of language in that they said then, and that's kind of exactly my point, is like, what was acceptable then is no longer even close to acceptable, and it's evidence of growth, because I'm sure I wasn't really conscious in this era of my life, but I'm sure that even in that era, it was like, well, hey, you know, we're not openly calling them these racial slurs that our parents used to use, so that must be okay. I guess my point on this still remains the same, is at what point in time as a society do we just look at it and go, hey, remember that whole thing we did with the racial slurs and how it took us decades to get to the point where we decided that no kind of hate speech was okay when we were talking about race? Can we erase that decades part when it comes to homophobia? Can we just close the gap on that 3 or 4 decade long growing into process and just say that hate speech is hate speech? I mean, I don't get it. For me, as infuriating as it is to watch a coach throw balls at other players, or his players, and to kick people, it's just as infuriating that he's using homophobic slurs. Because with it comes the connotation of, there's something wrong with this. There's something negative about this. And the alarming part, too, is that nobody says anything about this aspect of the story. Nobody's really talking about the fact that he's, like, perfectly okay with, like, throwing around homophobic slurs. Like, here, let me introduce another concept. What if one of those Rutgers basketball players happens to be gay, happens to be in the closet? It takes on a whole different meaning then, when the coach is yelling at you and using homophobic slurs. If that's the case, it's a pure hypothetical. There's no evidence of that. But I'm just saying, it would take on a completely different meaning if that was the case. And it's a black eye. It's a bad deal. And to me, it's just another instance where it unfortunately exposes the fallacy of the NCAA as an enforcement arm in collegiate athletics. It's a sham. If the NCAA truly wielded any power, they would have stepped in long ago. It wouldn't have been a decision for an athletic director or a president of any university to make. If the NCAA actually wielded any kind of real power, they would have stepped in on this long ago, demanded that he be removed, and that would have been the end of the story. But they're not. They're just a big sham. And if you believe anything else, well, I'm sorry. We're just going to have to agree to disagree, because I don't see how you can watch stuff like this unfold. And, you know, the other thing is, it's evidence of the era that we live in now. Like, oh, buddy, don't make a mistake. Like, don't screw up, because now you make a mistake and you make it in public. We live in the Sandusky era now. where enough media pressure, and this has always been the case, but especially with social media, enough media pressure can get things done quickly. There's no more sweeping it under the rug at this point. Things will move pretty quick if you get out of line. So, I don't know. I find the whole thing interesting. I find the whole thing fascinating. And that's where it is. Stick around after the break. We're going to talk baseball. Going to talk about the NBA season that's closing out. And Patriots fans, better pay attention.
Some nights I call it a draw. Some nights I wish that my lips could build a castle. Some nights I wish they just fall off. But I still wake up, I still see a gospel. Lord, I'm still not sure what I stand for.
Yeah. Wow, I dig that song. I just heard that song the other day, and I know you're like, oh, Baron, you're such an old. How did you miss this song for so long? You're such an old. This song has been out forever. I know. Leave me alone. It still does not change the fact that it is a great song. And that's all. That to me, that's the only point. Regardless of when I came on to it, it's a great song, and you can leave me alone now. Patriots fans. How are you feeling, Patriots fans? What have you heard the news about Rob Gronkowski's forearm? It's not good news. It's actually all bad news. It's, you know, he's got this metal plate in his arm. He rebroke the arm playing football when he had a metal plate in his arm, which logically does not make sense to me. If I have a metal plate in my arm, it doesn't mean let's go play football. It means let's watch some football. I don't know. But now the metal plate that they put in to replace the metal plate that was in his arm when he broke it again, I don't know why he swallowed the fly is kind of my point. But that now has gotten infected. And this is really bad news because this sets the timetable for his recovery back considerably. To the point where there's some concern that he may not, he might not make the season. Definitely not the season opener, it looks like. And it could go beyond that and well beyond that. And this is especially alarming when you start looking at the fact that they have nobody on their receiving core. And if you're a Patriots fan, I would love to be a fly on the wall in Tom Brady's house and hear like his like moments when he believes to be alone. I would love to hear his thoughts on what's going on with the Patriots because this is a guy who is a Hall of Fame quarterback. I don't think anybody can debate that. He's a first ballot Hall of Fame quarterback in Tom Brady. He restructures his contract so that they can attract free agents, keep guys, and then go out and immediately lose their best receiver quibbling over money. And now his second best receiver, it looks like, is not good. He's been on antibiotics for 6 weeks. The doctors are worried the infection still isn't gone. He might need, you know, he's already had 3 surgeries. He might need a 4th, possibly a 5th surgery before he can even start rehab. You're into training camp already with that. And if they find tissue that's been infected, then they're going to have to remove the plate that's in there and just clean it all out. And then another course of antibiotics. I mean, it's just, at this point, it is just all bad. It doesn't look like anything good is happening offensively for the Patriots. It's going to be real interesting to see what they do with the draft because, again, this is not like this is a draft class where they can go out and pull down a top flight wide receiver, especially considering where they're going to be drafting in the grand scheme of things. It just I mean, when you've got one of the last four picks, there's just not going to be a lot left there, I don't think. And you know, all the draft boards, and now everybody's trying to push Geno Smith up the line. And it's just the NFL is absolutely fascinating how much attention it garners in the offseason. It's really, really taken another step forward that it's now able to compete. This is crazy. Think about this. The NFL in its offseason, through free agency, through the NFL combine, through the draft, through offseason workouts and mini camps and training camp, it now has become a 12-month sports cycle on this sport, and it will now compete for viewership with sports that never had to compete. Like, it used to be that, like, right now, basketball was it. Like, that's all we were watching or paying attention to, is NBA and college basketball. Now the NFL's got its hands in there. The summer used to belong to baseball. Not so anymore. The NFL is a huge player for ratings in the summer. And so it's a very, very interesting time in the NFL, and watching how these networks just perpetuate the product is crazy, because, you know, watching all these talking heads and all these quote-unquote draft experts, watching them and how they're talking about Geno Smith. Look, here's the bottom line. All of these guys had a job when Tom Brady got drafted in, like, what, the 18th round or whatever. I don't know. He got drafted, like, forever. He wasn't even close to the top of his draft class. Every single one of these guys that talk about Geno Smith today had a job then. Ryan Leaf and Peyton Manning were drafted in the exact same draft class. Every single one of these guys had a job when that draft occurred, and none of them said, don't take Ryan Leaf, whatever you do. He's guaranteed to be a bust. So my point is that whatever these guys pretend to know, it doesn't seem to show a high degree of success rate on the field. They can project where they think guys are going to be drafted, but where somebody's drafted at this point in time in the NFL seems to have very little impact on what they actually do on the field in the NFL. So it's kind of odd to me that we're spending so much time in the sports news world talking about this event that's going to occur, that's kind of just like a crapshoot anyways. Like, nobody really knows who's going to come out of a draft and be great. Yeah, there's some guys that you look at and you go, okay, he's probably got a good chance of being great, but nobody really knows. Nobody knows who's going to flame out. Nobody knows who's going to come out of the second or third round and be a star. Nobody really knows. So it's just like it's the draft. It's called the draft lottery for a reason. Like, it's a total lottery pick. And so it's amazing to me that the NFL can steal this much attention away from what is turning out to be an incredible NBA season. You look at the drama of this year's NBA season, you have the Heat that go on that long run, and it's also funny how we live in such a reactionary society. Like, we're such a fast food society that it's like, right now, what's going on? Well, this must be true. And so the Miami Heat win 27 games in a row, a feat that I would argue is actually more impressive than the Lakers winning 33 in a row. And I know that's blasphemy here in LA, but this is my point. That's a phenomenal accomplishment. And then after that, when they finally lost to the Bulls, some players started taking time off. You know, oh, I got a turned ankle. Oh, I got an injury. I'm not saying those injuries aren't real. I'm just saying they would have played through it if the streak was still alive. So those guys start taking some nights off. They lose another game here. They lose another game there. The losses start to pile up. And now suddenly everybody starts talking about other teams as though they're going to be able to compete. And I'm like, wait a second. Hold on. This is a team, like, forget winning two or three games in a series from these guys. Last week you couldn't win a game from these guys. And now suddenly, because they've taken some time off, it's just... the reactionary nature of sports society is hilarious to me. How people are willing to look at such a small sample size of something. I'm going to say it right now. You can get me on record right now. What's today? It's April 8th, and I am on record right now. I am telling you April 8th that the Miami Heat are the best team in the NBA. Hands down, there's not a close second. If the Miami Heat lose, it will be because they've beaten themselves. Nobody is going to beat the Heat this year. The Miami Heat are clearly the best team in basketball. Anybody that says anything otherwise is doing one of two things. One, trying to be a contrarian because they like to be argumentative. Or two, they're trying to be a contrarian so that their network can gain more ratings or so that somebody will read their blog or their website or whatever news story they've written. It's not close, folks. The Heat are head and shoulders above everybody else in the NBA this year. Period, point blank. Also under the heading of looking at a small sample size and making a completely erroneous judgment, this is absolutely my favorite time of the year in Major League Baseball. We're 1 week into the Major League Baseball season, and I'm a St. Louis Cardinals fan, so I've got like that faction of people in my life that are like rabid St. Louis Cardinals fans. That the best thing about being friends with like true fans and like really being embedded in a fan base is that they really like, if anything goes wrong, it's, oh, the sky's falling. It's over. This is it. It's over. We're done. We can just quit now. Season over. It's game over, man. Game over. Like immediately. And I'll tell you what's really interesting is that the only time living in LA, I'm now embedded in a different fan base, a different type of fan base. You've got this weird dichotomy in the Los Angeles Dodgers fan base, okay? So you've got kind of two different types of fans in Los Angeles. You've got the diehard, dyed-in-the-wool, true blue, real Dodger fan who's very much like Cardinal fan, who, as soon as anything goes wrong, my friend DeLeap is one of these guys. As soon as anything goes wrong, we're talking about a very small sample size, right? As soon as anything gets off track, is Matt Kemp ever going to hit this year? What's going on with the pitching staff? Are we going to stay healthy? What about the bullpen? Do we have a strong enough bullpen? I don't know. Kemp and Ethier have to have a really good year this year. And is Gonzalez ever going to hit anything? I don't know. Is this going to work out? We spent an awful lot of money. This isn't working. What's going on? Where's Greinke? Is Greinke going to? It's like, settle down, man. Like, just everybody just. You feel that? Just take one deep breath and let's just acknowledge that this is 1 week. We are exactly 1 week into the baseball season. Do you realize that it's April? Like, do you know when they play the World Series in November? That's a long time from now. And to make any judgment about your team, good or bad, at this point is completely ridiculous. Does anybody really think that the Colorado Rockies are the class of baseball? I mean, say it out loud. Look at the records and really ask yourself what you think about these teams. So my point is, like, don't panic. Like, true blue Dodger fan, don't panic. You have more than enough depth of talent on that roster to weather this storm early on if you're going to have one. The National League West is not that difficult, folks. It's just not. I hate to say it, but really not that tough, I don't think. You pretty much got two teams that are going to lay down in San Diego and Colorado. You got Arizona, could go either way. And then you got San Francisco. And then you've got Los Angeles, who has the insane roster. They've got the most incredible team on paper in Major League Baseball. Now, whether or not that's going to equate to success on the field, well, that's the thing that every team in baseball deals with. But at least on paper, the team is in a position to win. So that's one kind of Dodger. A true blue Dodger fan is that guy. The hard part is, as a non-Dodger fan, the hard part is, and you can actually have a conversation with true blue Dodger fan, by the way. You can talk to them. They have some perspective. they are willing to concede that, you know, that the Dodgers might have some flaws, right? Just as a basic point of conversation, like, okay, maybe they're not completely perfect. That's true blue Dodger fan, not totally locked in. Then you've got this other faction of Dodger fan that is like the completely like tunnel vision, blinders on. The Dodgers are the greatest team on earth. There's no better team, no better franchise. We're the greatest franchise in the history of everything ever. And if you don't believe it, then you're a hater. That's my favorite thing. Whatever, you can present any kind of logic, any kind of factual evidence, statistics, history. You can bring anything into the conversation that a normal person would regard as grounds for an argument or grounds for a case to be made for what you're saying. And instead of acknowledging any of that, the crazy Dodger fan will just look at you and be like, why you got to be a hater? Why are you hating on the team? It's like, come on, man. We just need to acknowledge a few facts, you know? And so it's very difficult living in Los Angeles because it's at first glance, it's hard to tell who's who here. It's hard to tell who's the bandwagon fan. By the way, typically Dodger fan who is unwilling to admit the team has any flaws, also bandwagon fan. So it's hard for me coming from St. Louis where, like, I mean, look, if they trotted out nine monkeys wearing the birds on the bat and they had a dog managing the team, people would show up and be like, going to be a rough year. We're still going to sell Bush out, but it's going to be a rough year this year. I'm looking at that monkey at short. I don't think he's got any range. I don't see this working. So you come from that where it's like people are devoutly following the team to come here where you've got half the congregation is devoutly following the team. The other half of the congregation will literally kill you if you say anything negative about their baseball team. It's complete insanity. And you saw, like, when things go south, the fan base disappears. So what's happening right now? If you're in Los Angeles, if you know a Dodger fan, if you know anything that's going on, I'm going to tell you exactly what's happening right now. What's happening right now is that the Dodgers have a very good team on paper that isn't, at least for the first week of the season in this small sample size, has not produced on the field. So you've got the one faction of devoted true blue Dodger fan who's like now very nervous. Is this going to work? Is it not going to work? Their stomachs are tied in knots. Why are we losing these guys? Was it somebody hurt? What's going on? You got that guy over there having legitimate concerns. And then you've got crazy Dodger fan over here in the other side of the congregation trying to determine whether or not he should jump on or off the bandwagon. Is this the year we're going to win the World Series or not? On, off, on, off. And by the way, his attitude about the Dodgers, when confronted, won't change whether he's on or off the bandwagon. But he just won't wear his gear. He won't be quite as vocal if the team isn't going to be any good. But right now, he can't make a decision. He can't decide whether he should be on the bandwagon or not. So it's a very confused fan base here in Los Angeles. Not doing much better down the road in Anaheim, where, you know, they pay all this money and then start the season where, you know, Pujols doesn't hit, Hamilton doesn't hit, Trout struggles, and it's just like goes on and on. Trumbo can't hit. Like, it's just, it looks really bad. It doesn't look good. But again, folks, remember, small sample size. At this point in time in the season, nobody is as good or as bad as they look. So that's about it. I hope you guys enjoyed the show. Definitely going to be here on Mondays. Thursdays will be catch as catch can, but you should be able to hear at least one show a week. And going to get back on getting those up on the Facebook and pushed out to iTunes. If you've been listening on iTunes, I know some people catch up there. So that's the show. Ryko, Riley Kohler on the board, my man. Thanks for being here again. Thanks for supporting the show. And you guys have a great week. And whatever you do, do me one thing. Keep right.
You
You have been listening to The Sports Underground, and you know we always welcome your take. So hit Baron up on Twitter at SportsUG. If Facebook's your thing, go ahead and like it. If you want to download or subscribe to the podcast, hit us up on iTunes. And remember, come back again next time and get some.